I won't tell you how many points I have, or you would get up and leave. But they're not really points per se. In Sunday school, been teaching the Harvesters class, and last few months we've been going through the book of Proverbs and been using the verses in Proverbs, a lot of them, as subpoints. And that's kind of what we're doing here tonight. So really, I don't have any points, so that's good. But I've got a lot of numbers, and I won't tell you how many, but we'll hit this here and go on with that. The title of my message is Perfect Transformation. And this is the transformation in Christ will produce fruit in the lives of the believer. The Apostle Paul, a servant unto the gospel, is begging all of the saints here in Rome, among whom are the called of Jesus Christ and beloved of God. We see the foundation in chapter 1. The apostle, under direct inspiration of God, is begging the Christians here to urgently follow the steps of God's perfect will. Very, very familiar passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is a passage here, these two verses, that many of you have memorized. And these verses are used in lots of Christian schools, lots of churches, lots of youth groups. And we think of that idea here of not to be conformed as it were a jello mold, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And a lot of times, you know, this passage is used and preached here, the idea of that living sacrifice. And it kind of stops there a lot of times at that point, which is fine. But follow the progression here. And we see here in verse 1, you know, we are to, you know, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Then present your bodies, you know, holy unto God. And then present your bodies acceptable unto God. Because this is natural and a reasonable reaction for a saved, beloved child of God. You know, as a result of living a sacrificial, holy, and acceptable life, the believer will, you know, first be not conformed to this world, but also you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this proof then will be good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. But if we continue on here and look at the rest of the passage, that this is just a jumping off point, and this just begins the idea here of how a Christian is to live. A lot of sermons do just stop here, and they don't do the to-do list, if you will. Really, there should be a daily adding to your faith. We could use this passage as a checklist of things that we need to work on in our Christian life. You know, this is one of the longest lists here in Romans chapter 12 of a believer's fruit in the Bible. And we could take this list and look at it and almost exclusively use this to work on things in our life, and most of us would never get out of this chapter and fix these things. You know, this is that same idea of adding to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and all these different things. We're going to go through this very quickly, these ideas of the fruits of a believer. Now, these are natural progression of our walk with God, but it's also the idea of things that we are to be praying about, things that we are to be working on, things that we are to be allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us each day. Look here at verse 3 and following. We read this chapter, and we're going to read it kind of parts at a time and look at this as we go. But verse 3 continues on and says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." These are the things here that we're going to see that the fruit that is produced, you know, in the believer's life. First one here is to not think more highly of himself, or in this case, of yourself. And it continues on. It says, "But instead, we're to think soberly." And that's just that right thinking. And this is the measure that faith produces in us as believer. Now, there's a parenthesis in here. We're going to continue on these, the fruit that is in a believer's life, this progression of the transformation that happens as we pursue God's will and helps us to be, you know, that perfect believer or saint. But here we pick up here in verse 4, and it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." You know, the body has many members. And here we see different offices or duties, you know, therefore, the many members, one of another, you know, having differing gifts. And that's kind of the unique thing or the neat thing about a church. There are people that can do different things, just as the members of the body. And we have fingers and hands. We also have legs. We have a back. We have a head. We have feet. All these things are necessary for the body to function. Well, all these gifts and all these things that we do in the church body are necessary for the proper function of the church. God left us here after salvation so that we can evangelize the lost and to see people saved. People walk in these doors any given time. Our church service, our church preaching is mostly for the saints, for the believers to grow in Christ, as we are doing here and looking in this passage of ways to grow in Christ, to transform our lives into what God wants us to be as we accomplish His will. But at any given time, unsaved people come into this church services, and we should invite them to. That is part of an extension of evangelism of the church, is people literally walking in, hearing the Word of God preach, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and coming forward or in their pew accepting Christ. And we want that. And if there's someone here tonight that is like that, in that situation where they're not a believer, they may have even been coming to church for a while, but they've never accepted Christ. You know, tonight we want to have that opportunity to open God's Word and show you the gospel and to show you how that you can learn how to be saved tonight. But the church has lots of different members. Some have multiple talents and multiple gifts and multiple ministries. We see here prophecy. We see just simply ministry. Teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, you know, diligently, mercy with cheerfulness. But all these have that same trademark or that DNA, if you will, of the marks of what gifts that God gives the church for the function of the body. And that is going back to the idea of of that thread of love that goes back to the body of Christ, back to all of our ministering, is because of the love of God, who has given Himself for our salvation. And we as believers are to use those gifts, to seek out and to find those gifts, to study God's Word, to pray, to find out what would God have me to do. And those gifts of ministry can be broken down even more so. You know, not everybody is going to stand up and to speak up and to proclaim God's Word verbally. Not everybody's going to teach a class. But to minister, we all can find something that we can do. To be able to use our gifts and talent, to channel the love of Christ in our lives to help someone else. Whether it's counseling individually, whether it's working on a bus, whether it's working in a nursery, children's church, Sunday school, OCA, visitation, many, many things. We all have things that we're supposed to do and required to do by God, and that is evangelism and discipleship. All of us are to do so. But how we use those gifts to do so sometimes is different. We continue on looking at these fruits here, and we saw the first couple. Then we look at how the body of Christ is broken up in there as well. But we pick up here verse 9. And it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Another fruit that we see here in this passage here that we just read in verse 9 is not to have a hypocritical love or dissimulation. You know, it says here in the King James. That in and of itself is a stopping point for some of us. Why do you do what you do? Why are we here? Why do we exist? And again, it goes back to that idea of God could have taken us at salvation, but He left us here to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying and lost world. That is evangelism. And then the discipleship side of that is training others to be able to go and reproduce themselves as well in evangelism. But we have to have that idea of the love of God that drives us. It's not fame, it's not fortune in ministry particularly, but you know, it is one of those things that we need to not have a fake life or a hypocritical love. It's the love of God that compels us to preach, not only from the pulpit, but in our daily lives, as we minister, as we see that opportunity to reach people and to simply minister wherever we are. It goes on, verse 9, abhorring evil, hating that which is evil. And again, think of this as a checklist in your life. We're going to touch on everybody's pet sin. We're going to look at multiple things that we all have trouble with. And that's always the idea of juggling. You ever try to juggle something? You know, I can juggle one bowling pin all day. I can juggle two most of the time. But you throw a third one in, it gets a little more tricky. Then you see the guys that are just show-offs and put four and five in there. It's very difficult. You get one mastered, you drop something else. Well, it's like that in our spiritual lives. And that's why we have to be in God's Word daily, to look at that mirror to our soul, to find out what's wrong today. Because we might get something and drop something else. But to go back and to look at this and to see, God, how can I live my life to please You? And how are these fruits evident in my life? Cleaving to that which is good, holding fast on the good things of God, the righteousness of God in His Word. Verse 10, kindly affectionate to one another. Again, that theme and thread of love that goes through that. Brotherly love, preferring one another in honor. The idea of having the love of Christ to lead us to witness, to share the gospel, but also just in our daily lives and how we live. Then it switches here and goes to that idea of not slothful in business. You know, do we have a strong work ethic? Do we teach that in our kids? And that's a failure of our country. And we see a lot of times is people that don't want to work, kids that want something handed to them. But we're to be have that strong work ethic, not only in business, but in our idea of ministering and how we minister and share the gifts that God has given us in the local church. Verse 11, fervent in spirit. Serving in the Lord. You know, that idea of a willing, busy servant. Verse 12, we pick up here and see rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Have you heard the saying of the drop of a hat? That's that idea here of instant, being ready. Of course, the idea of a drop of a hat is also ready to fight, but that's sometimes appropriate. You know, we are fighting fundamentalists, and we need to fight for the fundamentals of the faith as well. Then verse 13, it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless and curse not. You know, we're to bless our enemies, not curse them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Do we weep with sorrowful Christians? Do we rejoice with joyful Christians? Sometimes we're jealous when something good happens, and then something bad happens sometimes, then we don't care enough. Or we're not available to help them. Verse 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You know, that same mind, again, one another. Follow the one another passages of Scripture. And that shows us how that we are to love, how that we are to treat one another, fellow believers in Christ. And the focus there is that idea of unity. It's so easy to get to that place where we have our agenda, we have our opinion, we have our even pet ministry, but we need to be working together, that body of Christ, to accomplish what God has given us to do here on this earth. You know, I was thinking when the ladies were singing, you know how easy it is to live the Christian life sitting right here in these pews? If I didn't ever have to leave here, I don't know that I would sin. Except for maybe falling asleep in church and my mind wandering and things. But it's easy to live the Christian life here, which is the reason that we forsake not the assemblings of ourselves as believers together in Christ, even more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Because it's tough out there. It's difficult. Staff shows up tomorrow at OCA, and I have meetings with them and set up stuff, and we go over all kind of training and everything in the morning. But you know what? If we ask the staff and did a poll, how many of you have difficulty living the Christian life in ministry at OCA? And I would say most people, especially if it was anonymous, would say, yeah, it's still tough. I still sin. I fail. I fall. And I have to repent. And we all do because we're all human. But we are to be unified in Christ, doing the work of the ministry, keeping our eyes and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching and training, whether it's children at OCA or a ministry on a Sunday or Wednesday, or reaching out in the community, unified as Christians to accomplish a goal of reaching others for Christ. Something our political parties don't understand, unity. But we won't go there. Mind not. Don't think on high things. Sometimes we have to condescend to lower men. To not think about things and talk about things that are so nebulous that it doesn't matter. You heard the saying that you're so heavenly minded that you're not any earthly good. We can talk about theology all day, but if we don't put practicality to our theology and go out and tell others about Christ and reach down to men where they are, then sometimes we may be a little too heavenly minded. Don't boast in your own conceits, your own wisdom. In verse 17, it says, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest to all men. Live peaceably with all men." You know, you make that possible. That's a challenge to the believer. Live peaceably. Not allow God to make you live peaceably. But we have something to do there, and that is keeping our heart right. Staying in God's Word. Making sure that we are living righteously. Live peaceably with all men as it lieth in you. Don't react, but instead act godly. You have the responsibility of how you're going to react to something. But if we live in Christ and walk in Christ, then that becomes easier in our life. Verse 19, the idea here to avenge not yourself. Put wrath behind you. Give place. That's put it where it belongs. Vengeance is God. He deals out and He judges others. It's His job for vengeance, for correction, for punishment even. But it's our job to live peaceably with all men. To allow the love of Christ again to motivate us, to compel us, to stir us, to drive us to share that same thing with others and teach them the love of Christ. Then here it talks about the idea of feeding and giving drink to your enemies. You know, you're to meet your enemies' needs so that you have the opportunity to lead them to Christ. Don't let evil overcome you, as it ends here, verse 19 and 20. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." By the grace of God. That you're allowing him to build you, to change you, to make you that servant that Paul was beseeching here in the book of Romans. As he was talking to the believers at Rome originally. But we're be a people that is allowing God to perfect us, to transform us by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God. That we spend time in our prayer life. That we're not distracted by the things of this world. That we live our Christian life as if we are living it in church. You know, we just read through, there's 32 things that I just read through. So you just heard a 32-point message from me. 32 things just in this chapter alone to live the Christian life, to walk in His righteousness. These are fruits that should be in all of our lives that at times they won't be. And we are going to fail and fall. But we're asking God to forgive us and depend and trust in Him. Spend time in His Word and on our knees to fix those things one at a time and to keep them in our life. I really want to go into chapter 13 and exposit that for you, but I won't. There's a parenthesis here in chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Then look at verse 8 of chapter 13. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man but to love one another, which is the fulfillment of the law. Then we'll conclude here, verse 14 of chapter 13. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, the daily work on these steps of the fruit in the believer's life shows us specifically God's will for the church and for each believer individually. Daily transformation in Christ produces godly fruit. First step is salvation, and then that continued growth in Christ. And I tell the teens in school and the little kids, and you've heard me say it before, you want to be successful as a believer, it only starts by being in the Word of God. So many things distract us, and we need to go back to God's Word for cleansing, for that mirror on our soul, for that encouragement, for that conviction, for that challenging us to live. One chapter, Romans chapter 12, there's more things than you can accomplish and attain in a lifetime. And you know what? God gives us 65 other books and a whole lot more chapters of things to work on. Read God's Word daily. Trust in Him to change you from the inside out. Submit yourself to Him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our mind by the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for just the simplicity of Your Word. Lord, we thank You that we can read Your Word daily, that we can be changed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit of God. God, I pray that You would just be with us here tonight, that we'd be honest with ourselves, what we need to change. Lord, I pray that there's an unbeliever here. You can't start any of these 32 steps until first you have a knowledge of the Savior. But I pray that anyone here that's never accepted Christ, that they would do so tonight. They would come forward on this first verse and have the pastor, have someone take the Word of God and show them. Well, they are a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. But Jesus Christ paid it all that they might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that You would challenge us as believers to walk and grow in You each day. That we'd be unified in Christ. That we would share the love of God and work together as believers in the body of Christ to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior and to reach others in this community. Thank You, God, for what You will do. Thank You for this week that You've given us to live for You. Help us to do so in a way that pleases You and bring glory to Your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.